everybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Sing it again. Oh, anybody know about the love of Jesus? Anybody know about the love of Jesus? Yes, I do. Oh, let's sing it to him now.
When I was searching, he saw me and gave me answers, took away all my doubts. When I was struggling to find my way,
hallelujah,
I heard the sweetest song,
oh, yes,
sent to me from the throne. A song of love and grace.
Oh, anybody know about the grace of Jesus?
The grace of Jesus.
Lord, I do.
I do.
Yes, I do. Anybody know about the grace of Jesus?
Grace of Jesus.
Lord, I do. Yes, I do.
He came and broke the chains,
hallelujah,
of sin and death and hell.
Yes, he did.
Said that I could use his name to defend myself.
Well,
his power is my constant source of help. His power is my constant source.
Oh, I want you to sing it to him. Oh, hallelujah. Well, anybody know about the power of Jesus?
Power of Jesus.
Lord, we all do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, we do. Oh, anybody know about the power? Amen. Aren't you glad to be a piece of the Master, Brother Terry? Have you enjoyed the Word last night? Wasn't it wonderful? Preaching of the Word of the Lord, just a tremendous time in the Lord. And well, we're here again this morning, and we're back at camp meeting again. So I hope you've come to have camp meeting and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God today. Play some more of that. Sing me another verse, Brother Harry. Why don't you make it real personal this morning to say, yes, I do. I know about His grace. I know about His love. I've experienced His power. Now give Him one more hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart today. Oh, hallelujah. Well, anybody know about the love of Jesus? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Sister Deanna Glenn wants us to remember her sister-in-law who has a broken leg, other problems in her body with blood clots in her leg. So remember that this morning. Also, Sister Deanna's mother is 92 years old, declining in health a whole lot more. So remember that prayer request. Also remember Sister Deanna for Traveling Mercy is going to be flying to Ohio on Wednesday to visit with her mother and family. So let's just pray for that request this morning. Sister Sylvia Barham says, please pray for a friend, Judy Fillers. She's been diagnosed with the same kind of cancer that my father had. Her husband is a Pentecostal minister. They are believing for healing. May God bless. Also, let's remember our little grandson, Tucker, this morning, suffering with an ear infection. Just pray for that need today. Sister Phoebe Therese says to please pray for Brother Danny. He's home, not feeling well, unable to be in the service today. So let's remember that. Brother Chuck Saminsky sends this in. These folks are in rehab. Haven White, Warren Smith, and Frank Kendall, all in rehab. So they're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer. Sister Linda Jablonski says she wants to thank her brothers and sisters for their prayers. My surgery on my wisdom teeth went well. I also have an urgent unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Pray for a friend, Angela, having severe lower back pain. The doctors cannot find her source of pain. Sister Rachel Scott sends that in. Sister Ruth Ward not feeling well this morning, unable to be in this service, so we want to remember her. Sister Janet Kennedy says, I have asked for prayer for healing in my body. Also, please pray urgently that our Lord will make it away so that we can be in church all the time. So let's remember that request tonight. Brother Amos Cutt says, please remember the Weeb families for Traveling Mercies beginning tomorrow. So we certainly pray that the Lord would be with those folks. We want to pray for Brother Stuart Green, very sick, needs healing in his body. So let's remember that need today. Brother Phil, Sister Cheryl Gould sends this in to please remember Alex Ellis. She's in Franklin Woods with a 6-millimeter kidney stone. She had a stent put in this morning, is scheduled to have the stone removed this week. She's been coming on Sunday mornings and says this is her church. Pray for healing and continued revelation. So let's remember that need as we pray today. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need you'd like for this group to pray about, could we stand? Brother Randy, would you come this morning, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Let's invite His presence into this service. I believe the Lord's going to bless us with a wonderful time here today, don't you? Brother Randy, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads this morning. Lovely Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us to your house this morning, Lord. It's such a privilege and an honor to be in your presence, Lord, on a resurrection morning, Lord, to worship you, spirit and in truth, Lord. Thank you for the service last night, Lord, for the word that we heard, so precious to our hearts, Lord. We're such a blessed people, Lord. We take it for granted many times, Lord, but we realize, Lord, that we are a blessed people, Lord. Thank you for your love and your mercy to each one of us, Lord. I pray you touch every heart in divine presence, Lord. Each need that was spoken, Lord, you know each need, I pray. I bring it before your throne this morning, Lord. Would you touch and minister to each and every need, Lord, every heart that's broken, Lord. Everyone that needs a touch in their body, Lord, in their spirit, in their mind, Lord, in their heart, Lord. Would you minister to each and every need, Lord. As Brother Mike would come around, Lord, and break the bread of life this morning, Lord, would you speak to each and every heart, Lord. Touch us once again with your word, Lord. We ask these favors and petitions in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randy. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in the service, we certainly want to welcome you in the service today. Also, those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. This announcement, I think it's been on the board, but this is an update to that. For all the children interested in singing in a children's choir, please meet in the fellowship hall directly after service to discuss a practice schedule. So remember that. If you're all your children, if you're interested in singing in a choir, just go to the fellowship hall and we're going to figure out a practice schedule for you. So the Lord bless you in that. Sister Ruby, God bless you. Jewel, Sister Jewel. She's celebrating a birthday today. Raise your hand. Give her a nice hand if you would this morning. Right there. God bless you. Appreciate you in the service today. Somebody give me a name and I just miserably failed again. Better write it down if you want me to say it right. And print it in big bold letters. And break it down so I can read it. Are you glad to be in church today? Are you glad you're living for the Lord? Are you glad He loves you? Are you glad He's in the house? Give Him a big hand clap of praise this morning. He's in the house, Brother Harry. He's in the house. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when He said she's only sleeping. As He took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there's life where darkness used to be.
Touched His heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me.
Oh, yes, there is.
For all the world to see. Touch this heart of mine.
Yes, sir.
He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay.
Oh, yes,
ever
Lord.
Ever since that blessed day.
Oh, sing it to Him.
There's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
praise the Lord. Give Him a big hand clap of praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He's in the house? You can be seated this morning. Brother Brandon Green, come get ready to give us a song. Sister Carla, if you're here this morning, I know you are. If you'll just come onto the platform, get ready to give us a song. We'll go right on into the service. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to come and sing for you today.
Going to try a little song here if y'all know it. Help me, it's called You Are God Alone.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you were on your throne. You are God alone. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad,
your throne. Yes, you are God alone. You are God alone. From before time began, you were on your throne. You were God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are God alone. You are on your throne. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. Unchangeable, unshakable, unstoppable, that's what you are. You are God alone.
You want to be on good terms with him before you get in desperate need, don't you? I found out that just like that, you can have been in a dire emergency in your home, your family, or friends, or whatever it is. So we want to stay on excellent terms with the Lord Jesus all the time. That way we're prayed up, not every hour, not every month, but prayed up constantly, just ready to meet him. Well, we're going to go on into the service today. And as Brother Mike's come, I certainly enjoyed the word last night. Looking forward to see what the Lord has for us today. And I believe that God is mindful of us, don't you? Oh, I know he is. He's just so mindful. I believe that he's here to meet with us in the hour that we're living, not to be gathered under a repeat of something that has been said over and over and over and over again, and we'll try to find a new way to fashion it and shape it to make it more interesting. But we're believing that God has given us a word in this hour that just keeps going and going and going and making itself so real to us, for it's a preparation time. So let's just open our hearts to the Lord today. You have a need. I know you do in your life, whether spiritual, physical, financial, domestic, whatever it is. And know that the Lord is mindful. The Gentile way of us being able to believe is to be able to hear his word and to be able to receive it. Right? Receive it. If you need hands laid on you, we'll do that too. But the Gentile way is taking him at his word. If a centurion could do that so many, many years ago, you don't even need to come to my house. You don't need to even see my servant or speak to him. Just speak the word, and my servant will live. May God make it so real to us today. Amen. Sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open
the eyes
of my heart.
Let it be a prayer.
Yeah, I want to see you.
Yes, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Yes, Lord.
I want to see.
How do we want to see?
See you high and lifted up.
Your heart's desire today. Amen. If we see anyone today, we want to see our Lord Jesus. Amen. It's always nice to see one another. But when we come together like this, we want to see and hear from him. Amen. So God bless you this morning. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord, and just appreciate God's grace to us. We're a blessed people. Amen. We're a blessed people to have a desire in our heart to come to the house of God. And, you know, as the day that we see that is upon us, you know, the scripture tells us we ought to even gather ourselves that much more together. And so we thank God that we have a desire not only to serve him, but to gather together with one another. Amen. There's strength in unity. God knew exactly what he was doing when he orchestrated services just like this. Amen. He saw this one before the world ever began. Amen. And if he saw that, he knew exactly what you would have need of. And so he prepared something just for you. Amen. That's how mindful he is of us. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. It's always a privilege to be here with you. Certainly appreciate Brother Donnie's grace to us to have us to come. And I just trust that something will be said from last night and today that would just be able to help you in this bypass that we're on, and till we are brought back to our original place. Amen. So We certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here, bring you greetings from the saints at Word of Life Tabernacle in Hardy, Arkansas. So we bring you greetings from them. And while we look into the Word today, you just put your heart and your need before God, and I know that God will speak to our hearts. If we would turn this morning to Matthew chapter 3, we were looking last night at the masterpiece, and if I've learned one thing, it's God's Word just dovetails together. And we want to take this morning, if I can, for a thought on the purging of his floor. And we'll try to finish up with this, and we'll take our thought from Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What a powerful portion of Scripture. Amen. May we pray together. Heavenly Father, as we would bow our hearts before you this morning, Lord, we stand here as a minister of the gospel and as a man under in this position, not able to minister to anyone their needs, but as a physical man. But Lord, there's a gift that you placed in men's life. And Lord, it'll be you that uses that gift to speak words of life to your children. So Lord, I pray that you would allow me to step aside, that you could use that part of yourself this morning. Lord, may you minister the things that we have need of. We have read a great part of the scripture this morning. So Lord, we just ask, as just how our prophet said it, may you just come and grant us the context of this text that we have read. So Lord, if you will use that part of yourself, and Lord, anoint our hearts that they would receive and our ears to hear, then we could leave this place today with our hearts burning within us because you spoke with us along the way. So Lord, we asked, as we would look into these things, that you would minister as the word would go forth. Lord, may you just minister to the hearts of your children. And Lord, may you just bring them closer to you. Forgive us, Father, of our sins, our shortcomings, and wash us afresh today by the water of thy word is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I had, just to give you a little testimony, I believe God is doing some great things right now. And I know that Brother Branham tells us that there would be a short, quick work or a short, powerful demonstration and some things going on. And as Brother Donnie said just a moment ago, it's a Gentile way to receive the word that is spoken. Had a young man who has been away from God for many, many years, just as a teenage boy, had left the what he was raised in, had went away, and just his life, as his testimony, had gotten into so many things through life. Very talented, very gifted young man, but used it for many years in the wrong way, and then here just recently give his heart back to the Lord. And he was sitting in a service one Wednesday night, and I'd actually preached a series on that masterpiece at home. And while I was preaching, I noticed that his facial expression, everything about him changed. He was just sitting right here, and he told me a couple days later, he was talking with me, and he said, "Brother Mike," he said, "I have never felt God in my life." He said, "until Wednesday night." And he said, "Something moved in me." And he said, "It was like I was caught up for a moment." And he said, "I've never felt that ever before." And he said, "I don't ever want to lose it, what I've got." So I believe that God is moving in our midst. And I believe that last predestinated seed, if it's not already in, it's coming. Amen. And if it's laying in you, all I can tell you is get prepared. Amen. Because the Word said He ain't going to lose a one. Amen. So He'll go to great lengths to get that one in. So our scripture reading here from Matthew on the purging of his floor. If you'll notice one thing from the scripture, this fan is in his hand. So everything is in his control. This is his floor. It is his wheat that he's going to gather. Amen. So we're living in a time, I believe, that where God is separating or starting a separation of the wheat from the chaff. But before this separation can actually really come, there has to be a gathering together on his floor. Now, to look at it this way, both the wheat and the chaff come on his floor. And it is on his floor where the separation comes, and it is from there that we're taken up in the great grain elevator to the Hall of Fame. So we'll take some scriptures this morning, and Carla told me last night, said you asked for 5 minutes and took about 20. I said, well, grace gives you 15. So you add 5 to 15, that gives you 20. So I apologize for extending my grace last night, but we'll take some scriptures here and just trust that we can do like Brother Jewel. Just parachute out somewhere. In St. John chapter 10, we'll look here for a moment in verse 24. We'll read down through verse 29. It says, then Jesus, or they came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. They still wouldn't have believed him. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. So the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we believe that there are some who has never accepted and never will accept Christ, but there are some who are as eternal as God is eternal, because we've received the same life, because we come from the same cell. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me say this. There is a difference, and we'll look at this for just a few moments. There's a difference in a righteous people and those that are the righteousness of God. Now, we are righteous, but we were made righteous because he was made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Now, also, the book of Jude, verse 14 and 15. Here is Enoch prophesying, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So here we know that the Brother Ram told us that he comes the first time to redeem his bride, the second time to take her, the third time he comes with her. Right? Looking at Enoch's prophecy, so it's coming, and to do what? To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. What a time. Of their ungodly, or what they've the ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So what an hour that is approaching. And if you look at Enoch's prophecy, I went back and looked into the book of Enoch to if you've not read it, it's very exciting to, material to read if you look at it in the aspect that he is our type. There are some things very hard to understand, but yet there are some things that even as Jude quoted a portion of this scripture or this book to you and I, and then we know it applies to us in this hour. And if you go back to the book of Enoch, this is from the Ethiopian translation of it. And I'll read you a few verses that leads up to what Jude quoted. It says this, the word of the blessing of Enoch, how he blessed the elect and the righteous who were to exist in the time of trouble. So David mentions the time of trouble. Brother Branham comes and preaches the rapture and takes Psalms 27 of the time of trouble. All right? And he sets this as a background for the rapture. All right? So he's telling us here Enoch is looking at the elect and the righteous who will be gathered together or who will be in a time of trouble. Rejecting all the wicked and the ungodly. Enoch, he was a righteous man who was with God, answered and spoke with his eyes open while he saw the holy vision in the heavens. This angel showed me from, I heard all things and understand what I saw, that which will not take place in this generation, but in a generation which is to succeed at a distant period on the count of the elect. So what he's seeing and what he's writing was not for his day, but on the account of the elect who will succeed in a distant time. Here we are. So upon their account, I spoke and convened with him. Amen. Who will go forth from his habitation, the holy and mighty one, the God of the world, who will hereafter tread upon Mount Sinai and appear with his host and be manifested in the strength of his power from heaven. And all shall be afraid and the watchers be terrified. Great fear and trembling shall seize them and even to the ends of the earth. The lofty mountains shall be troubled, the exalted hills depressed, melting like a honeycomb in the flame. He's speaking of the end time. So he says, the earth shall be immersed and all things which are in it perish, while judgment shall come upon all, even upon all the righteous. So Enoch puts the righteous in judgment. Amen. But then shall he give peace, he shall preserve the elect. And towards them he will exercise clemency. Or in other words, he will bring them free from judgment. Amen. Now, you say, Brother Mike, why are you reading from this strange book? Well, Jude quoted from it. All right? And I do believe that Enoch was our type. He was the seventh from Adam. Amen. So we can take these things in the light of the hour. And, you know, as long as it runs in continuity with the message, I think it's all right to read these things. Because we're not trying to build new doctrines or things. We're trying to increase our faith and recognize our position in Christ, the Word. It's got to come off of the paper and into the heart. There's more than just us going around and saying, oh, once the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go. Well, there's more to recognizing your position. You must see yourself in the Word as that little boy waved at himself in the mirror. So he'll exercise the righteous come into judgment, but God delivers the elect from judgment because he's already judged them innocent. Ain't no wonder they try to disprove that cloud. They don't want to face judgment that's coming. So if they can take away the effect of it, they take away the conscience or the guilt from their mind that they don't have to stand in the presence of that judge. But he'll give peace to the elect. He'll exercise clemency towards them. Then shall all belong to God, be happy and blessed. For the splendor of the Godhead shall illuminate them. Behold, he comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon them and destroy the wicked, reprove all the carnal for everything which the sinful and ungodly have done and committed against him. So again, notice Enoch speaks of a righteous people and he speaks of the elect. So there is a difference of being a righteous person and becoming the very righteousness of God. Paul tells us in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is faith? It is a revelation of the will of God for your life. And Paul tells us that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What is the righteousness of God? It is the state of him who is as he ought to be. So in other words, God sees you. He's already accepted you. He sees you as you ought to be, not as you are. Remember, he took that picture of you, and the picture is the main thing. God doesn't change his mind about his word. He's never lost that vision. Death may have crept in. Sickness may have done this to you. He may have done all kinds of things to you, but the picture has never changed. It is one of whom his ways, his thinking, his feeling, his acting is wholly conformed to the will of God, and who therefore needs no rectification in the heart or life only. Christ truly is needed. He is approved or accepted by God. So the righteousness of God, the accepting of God, the revelation that God has accepted you as you ought to be, is revealed from faith to faith. Amen. Luther could not have preached the justification that you and I have heard, because this righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. So this is requiring, it comes by revelation. And this is not just common faith. We're not talking about a faith that just heals your toothache or your headache. We're talking about the faith that he's going to find when he comes. Amen. This is the faith that our hearts have been turned back to. And a lot of times we take this and we maybe misunderstand or misplace, and it's a very dangerous thing to misplace and misconstrue scripture or quotes even. And we sometimes, maybe without understanding, not that we do it purposely, but sometimes we take those things, brother, and said, oh, we gotta have faith for a rapture, and we ain't even got faith to heal a toothache. I can tell you this, you can have faith to heal your toothache and another tooth in your head is going to start hurting tomorrow. Because it's temporal. It's a common faith. And you got to have that to walk every day in this life. But the faith that comes down on the inside of your heart, it's going to change you. It ain't just going to heal a toothache. It's going to change you. This is the faith. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what God has revealed down through the ages. This is the faith when Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will I find faith? Will I find faith? Not will I find people. Not will I find churches. Not will I find this, that, or that. Will I find faith? I say yes. Because he has restored us to that faith. Amen. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we see that only God can do this. And who's he going to present it to? Himself. Amen. So we realize there is a bride, and there is a church. Now, if you ask any person who considers themselves to be a believer, so said last night, there's millions of people that believe they have eternal life, but they don't. Amen. And they are considered, some of them are considered this righteous people. All right? And when you look at what God has done in this hour, and you take this on the outside of the message now for a moment, and you ask these people, do you believe that the Lord Jesus is going to return? They'll say, amen. Yes, I do. We're believing in a rapture. Well, their mindset of a rapture is planes falling out of the skies, cars crashing, all kinds of things, and the radio stations, news, TV reporters, and all of these things are going to be standing in the graveyards, and graves are going to be bursting wide open, and the whole world will know when he comes. Well, they're looking at a coming with a different mindset. They've got some things mixed up and confused. They're looking at a Revelation 19 coming when everybody's going to see it. But this coming, when he comes to get you and I, it's a sudden, secret catching away. It's an escape notice. Listen, a prisoner doesn't notify everybody when he's going to escape. He keeps this on the inside. And all of a sudden, the next day when the check comes, he's gone. Then the alarm sounds. Amen. And God has kept this secret on the inside. That nobody knows when we're going, but we're going to be ready. And when the bride's gone, then the alarm sounds. Because she was counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon this earth. So we realize there's a church and a bride. And you'd be surprised, there's not very many people that actually would understand that. Amen. So thank God for truth that he's revealed to us in this hour. Amen. That he actually didn't just call us church. But he said, I'll call you bride so that you'll understand. Amen. Because if you look at yourself as just a church, there's all kinds of trouble coming. Not just a time of trouble, but you're going to go through trouble. But if you're a bride and see yourself as bride down in your heart, remember there's an escape notice already been given. And let me say this, because there is a church and a bride, because there is foolish and wise virgin, the wise will never become foolish and the foolish will never become wise. They were predestinated to be what they are. An unbeliever will never be a believer. Listen, we may, because of the battleground of the mind, we may have doubts arise. We may sometimes get a little fearful or things of that nature. But yet, because the seed of God remains in you and abides in you, you will never become an unbeliever. Why can't you? Because of the seed of God. Not where we were born or what places we are or where we go or how much we travel or what we say. It's the seed of God. This is recognizing our position in the Word. Matthew 25, verse 31 to 37 says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and give thee drink? And then he goes over to the others and says this again. Lord, when did we not do this? So he's looking at the righteous. Also, as a shepherd would divide his sheep from his goats. And in verse 46, he says, and then, or these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is not the elect. This is at White Throne. He's dividing. He's bringing some righteous people in that go into eternal life. They don't have it, but they go into it. Amen. Listen, friend, everybody in this message ain't right. Everybody outside this message ain't righteous. But there is bride here. And there is righteous there and righteous here. Now I'm not talking about this Christ rejecting, blaspheming generation of people. I'm speaking of a righteous people and not these people that think around this message, well, if I miss the rapture, I'll go in as a foolish virgin. I'll be good to the elect, therefore I'll get in. You might have a disappointment come judgment. Well, this ain't Catholicism. You ain't going in by your works. These people did not even know they were good to the elect. Lord, when did we give you drink? When did we visit you? When did we? These were people that were good to the brethren that didn't even know they'd done it. So those that's around this message thinks, well, if I don't go in the rapture, I'll just be good to those who I think's going to make it, and therefore God will give me mercy and I'll get in. That ain't scriptural. So if you want in, you better get in now. While there is mercy here, you better run to the altar, grab a hold of the horns of mercy while there's still mercy left. Because once the bride is gone, it's nothing but judgment. St. John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Enoch said he'll exercise clemency upon the elect. We're not coming into judgment. We pass from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And all hath given unto him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So right here in this verse, Jesus speaks of two resurrections, the first and the second. Amen. The first resurrection hears the voice of God. It is the elect of all ages. But there's coming a time when all that are in the graves, the righteous and the wicked, are going to raise in a second resurrection. And those that have done good that didn't know what they were doing, they're going into the resurrection of life or into eternal life. And the others that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So this is where it is very important that we not just see ourselves as a righteous people. Because if we don't have the understanding of who we are, then we don't know what's coming. Or we'll be like the denominations expecting a rapture, but looking at it as a Revelation 19 coming. And then you must have the right confession for your body to obey it. Amen. We must say and believe who we are. Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, do we believe that the elect are scarcely saved? The righteous are scarcely saved. Amen. Lot had to be jerked out of Sodom. And Brother Branham will compound that meaning. He says, be one drop of fire fell on Sodom. Lot was out. So if the righteous are scarcely saved, where's the sinner and the ungodly going to appear? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 9 says, in the turning of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after or should after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Thank God we ain't just righteous. But that we understand that because He became sin, we have become the very righteousness of God. Why do the foolish virgin go through tribulation? To be purged. Brother Bram said, our purging's daily. Amen. He said, he was asked one time, Brother Bram, do you believe in purgatory? He said, sure I do. And the man said, oh, that's good. He said, but I don't believe that it's a place where you get prayed in and out of. He said, I believe in a purgatory is a purging of our soul. We do it daily. Amen. We're already purged. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. He says, in the seed, not air with a shuck, the world is in a Sodom condition. Amen. That's almost more true today than it was even then. He said, and the church has went into Sodom with it. We can say amen to that. He said, like Lot and his wife, and I say that there is an elected church somewhere in this world that's pulling out and setting aside from those things, and the manifestation of God has attracted its attention. We're at the last days. The shuck has given forth its strength into the seed. It went out. It was a good shuck, but it served its time, see? It's the word bride of the word groom. So we can see that there is a difference between the righteous people and those that have become the righteousness of God. We know that there is a bride and a church. Amen. And it's very easy, because of the spirit of judgment that's coming, to get caught up into it and look at things the wrong way. Because we have too many times looked at people who did not believe what we believe and just put them in hell. Well, if you don't believe this message, you're lost. That ain't scriptural. Even Brother Brown tells us, say, three kinds of believers. But it ain't scriptural. There is a righteous people that are going to be saved and given eternal life. And when you look at Abraham, and as remember, I read it to you last night, brother, I said, if you're Abraham, you're looking for that kingdom. And Abraham looked at his nephew, who wasn't a believer, when he got in trouble and tried to help him. So they can be saved, they're not going to be rapture material. I know that sounds rude, and it makes us sound like we're holier than thou, but we're just speaking from revelation of what God has given us. We're not being judgmental. We're not looking down upon any. It's not our heart as it was God's heart, neither to see anybody perish. Amen. I don't want to see anybody lost but the devil and his angels. And I'd like to help put him in the lake of fire. But it's not in our hearts to see anybody lost. And when you actually look at tribulation period, you look at it, this is God's grace. It's God's mercy to these righteous people. Well, Brother Bram tells us 144,000, they're going to receive eternal life too. And he tells us it's the 144,000, what is actually leading them is the tender hand of Jehovah. Amen. You say, oh, I have eternal life, and this way, that way, and I don't believe the message. There ain't but one form of eternal life. The only difference between wise and foolish was one thing. Oil. Everything else was the same. The only thing that separated them was the Holy Ghost, the oil, eternal life. The token which is the literal life of Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. Modern events, he says, for you're a gene of your father. You were in your father, yet your father had no fellowship with you because you was in there, but yet you knew it not and he knew it not, but you was manifested that he might have fellowship with you. And you being born again, you're born of eternal life. And that's the only one, there's only one form of eternal life. And that's God's life, Zoe. He says the Greek word Zoe, only one form of eternal life. Then if you're a son or of God or a daughter of God, you were in God all the time. But he knew what bed and time that you would be planted. Amen. We could have never come in any other age. God knew exactly when and where you would be. And listen, friend, look at the mind of this master. Look at the grace and the mercy of this master to a people who would have never been had there not been a fall. Because if there had never been a fall, all Adam would have brought forth is you, God's gene seed. There'd have never been a foolish virgin. But listen, God had attributes. What a mind of a master. And we as people, as believers, ought to be thankful this morning because some of them righteous people might be your family. And God will never fail on His word that you will be there with your offspring. He didn't say they'd have to be elect. Amen. You know, I had a man for years sat under the, you know, in our church and he heard me preach for 12 years. For about 11 of those years, I heard from him. I might pray for my children. They're in a Baptist church. They're lost. And they're going to hell. And finally, after all those years, I just asked him one day. I said, how do you know that? Is this all right? If it ain't, just kick me out, straighten me out after I leave. Or I said, I'm serious. I said, how do you know that? He said, well, they're in that harlot system. I said, how do you know they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior by their confession and they're saved? Paul, give that prescription. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe Him with all your heart, thou shalt be saved. Salvation and election for rapture is two different things. We have salvation, but it is our election that brings us in a rapture. So I said, brother, how do you know they're not saved? Well, I never thought about that. His wife got sick. I went to visit her. She got cancer. Just spread just like wildfire. And we were sitting in their little den one day and we were sitting there talking and he again brings up his children. Only one out of five or six was actually believes the message. The rest of them are in the same Baptist church. It's kind of a little independent Baptist church. Good people. I mean, good people. And they love God. You get around them, you can tell they love God. But they don't believe what we believe. And it come up again, and I started to explain this again, and she just looked at him, and she said, see? you there's hope for them. You say, well, why would God bring this to us? To take away some of the fear and scare that we live with every day. This is why I think it's been said for so many years and so, I think, so perceived so wrong, is that we have gotten a lot of people to the message. We hadn't got very many to Christ. We've conformed a lot of people that never got a transformation. So we understand there's only one form of eternal life. If you're a son or a daughter of God, you always was in God. And you're manifested in this hour. He says now, he said he knew what time and bed you'd be planted. So now you're made a creature, a son of God, manifested son or daughter of God to meet the challenge of this hour, to vindicate that the true and living God of this hour, the message is coming forth in this time. That's right. You was done there before the foundation of the world. If you wasn't chose that way, no matter how much you tried to impersonate it, you'll never make it. How can you get blood from a turnip when there's no blood in there? Invisible union. He says, your old book is gone with your old union. Your name has been transferred. You say, do you mean to tell me that my old book? He said, God put it in the sea of His forgetfulness. He said, you stand perfectly before God. Now your name is on the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. He said, your old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. That'll mean something in a minute. Few minutes. He says, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. So you mean there's a people that's been forgiven, but not justified. Because he tells you that you've not only been forgiven, but you've been justified. Hey, that ought to make a Methodistarian shout. Amen. Not only forgiven, but justified. Future home, he says, if you got eternal life, there's only one form. That's God. You are an expressed attribute, see? If you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. No man can come to me except my Father drawed him. He said, see, which passes away, all things. But these things don't. He said, so it speaks of eternity. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you are in eternity where you was all the time. You know, Jesus told him, he said, I'm in heaven, but I'm standing on earth at the same time. And they looked at him and said, huh? See, you were made for an eternal purpose because you was the manifestation of an attribute that was in God. That thought of you and expressed you, and He made an earth to take you out of. Amen. Why did God create the earth? To get you. Not so He could just create a planet. There's millions of stars or billions, whatever there is. However, God knows their number, and even not in their number, but only their names too. But He made this planet. To get your body. And people's worrying about life on other planets. I could care less. If there is, it come from God. And they'll be our brothers in eternity. And if there's not, who cares? I just wish they could get a cell signal to go uphill and downhill. They can put a buggy on Mars. Why can't they put a cell signal in a valley? Hope AT&T don't hear that. He said, sin came along and perverted His way. You come anyhow, but you was lost with the world. So He came and redeemed you. The expressed attribute, and also redeems the earth by the same way. He said, then His purpose rolls on. See, oh hallelujah, how that does me so much good to think of just what lays ahead. Whose is Melchizedek? God vindicates that. It's always been right. God vindicates it to be true. So plainly, the predestinated is the only ones that's considered in redemption. He said, do you get it? Let me say that again. The predestinated is the only one that's considered in redemption. Amen. He said, people may be making like, think they are, but the real redemption is those that are predestinated. Because the very word redeem means to bring back. Is that right? To redeem something is to redeem, is anything to bring it back to its original place. Hallelujah, he says. So it's only the predestinated will be brought back because the others didn't come from there, see, to bring back. So the others are actually recipients of the mercy and the grace of God that never would have been had there not been a fall. I hope this changes our attitudes towards others that don't believe like we believe. Again, I'm not talking about this Christ rejecting, blaspheming people that's done what they've done. I'm speaking about good people that love God, but just will tell you, I just can't see that. That's what you believe, that's fine, but this is what I believe. And they don't reject it, they don't blaspheme it, they just can't see it. And you can talk to them till you're blue in the face. They'll never see it if they didn't come from it. Amen. Because God hides himself from them. But he reveals it to you and me. So it's only the elect, and by election do we make a rapture. This is the finishing cycle, or the completion of the cycle of redemption. Remember, redemption was a plan, a master plan from a mastermind. So it started and it finishes. And the finishing gives us a body to match our soul. Because right now we're a strange people. We're a peculiar people. We're as eternal as God is eternal, and we're as time as time as time. But we ain't confused. Enoch, remember, he said, I understood that what I saw. Amen. This is the finishing cycle. Along we have been talking, it's Resume of the Ages, chapter 10, he says, along we have been talking about this seed of wheat being buried, sending two shoots, the tassel, the true ear. And it might make some would wonder if we thought that the Lutherans didn't have the Holy Spirit just because they taught basically justification. So it might make some wonder about the Methodists, etc. No, sir, we're not saying that. We're not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age. Luther had the Spirit of God. His revelation, the just shall live by faith, proved he had the Spirit of God. There ain't but one form of eternal life. Amen. And Luther is the elect of his age. And those that stay true to that word of that age are the elect of that age. It's revealed from faith to faith. Right? So he says, Luther had the Spirit of God, but his age was not the full age of full restoration by another outpouring like in the beginning. It was the same with Wesley, Brooke, or Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Brainerd, Jonathan Edwards, Mueller, etc. Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost. Yes, they certainly were. But the age in which each lived was not the age of restoration. Neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout in apostasy. This is the age of apostasy, and this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle. With this, it's all over. We all know what a cycle is. Cycles change. But in the law of physics, the word cycle means it is a continuance, or it is a sequence of changing states that upon completion produces a final state identical to the original state. And within this sequence of changing states, It means that one goes through a complete alteration in which this phenomena takes or attains a maximum and a minimum value, then returns to the final or equal value of the original. So physics just explained what Brother Branham said: a seed of wheat goes into the ground and dies. It lays down through the dark ages. Then with Luther, it starts to come back up. So it reaches, it comes, starts out that first church. Hey, listen, they could have made a rapture. Hey, man, Paul tells them, you ain't come to Mount Sinai, you come to Mount Zion. To an innumerable company of angels. They could have took a rapture. The only thing that held them was you. And the ages that laid between them and us. So it had to go into the ground. That bride tree had to go down. Those four death messengers had to eat her down. But in the end, Malachi under inspiration said, I'll restore. I'll restore, saith the Lord. And my floor shall be full of wheat. That the last one comes back to the same value as the first one. It is Alpha and Omega. Amen. In the book of Jude again, verse 18 says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. They who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Albert Barnes says this of what Jude says. He calls to the remembrance the fact that it had been predicted that there would be such mockers in the last periods of the world. Remember, there has to be a hall of critics before you go to the hall of fame. There's going to be some mockers in the last day. There'll be some scoffers in the last day. And listen, they're not here to depress you. I love this. You can find some little nuggets from these men. They're great men. Not everything that they said was right on, but there are some things that can be applied. He says, so he calls remembrance the fact that it was predicted there would be mockers in the last day. It would be in the last periods of the world, and that the faith of true Christians, therefore, was not to be shaken, but rather confirmed by the fact of their appearance. So our faith is not to be shaken by mockers. When you see the mockers, it's confirming who you are. Amen. When you see the criticism, it lets you know what's the next stage of the journey. Amen. Matthew 25. Let's look at these foolish virgins and wise virgins for a moment. So then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now remember, the only difference between these 5, foolish and wise, is one thing: oil. But they hear the same thing. Amen. They all slumber and slept. There is a righteous people and there is an elect people. And I realize there's some, and if you disagree, that's fine. Just chalk it up to my ignorance. I know there's some people that don't believe foolish virgins can even be in this message. But I believe they're in this message as well as in the world as well. Because the only difference is they're good people. They just don't have the Holy Ghost. Therefore, they're tribulation bound because the blood didn't cover them. Well, they thought they were under it. and I go through tribulation period to be purged. Let me ask you, who will know first that the bride is gone? Those that's in our midst that are not bride, or those on the outside? When the alarm sounds, who's going to sound it? Very sobering. But it's in every church. They slumbered. They all slumbered and slept while he tarried. The word slumber means to sleep lightly or to doze, to drowse, to be in a state of inactivity, to be calm, to spend or pass time slumbering, or to dispel or forget something by slumbering. So in a certain part of this, both sides get a little forgetful. Amen. And something has to come back to her remembrance. Amen. To bring her out of that state of slumber. That state of inactivity. Amen. Romans 11, 7 and 8 says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which is he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day." Now I know some of you, just like at my church, they'll go home and look up slumber. And they're going to run across this scripture and say, "The spirit of slumber." Oh my, Brother Mike said we had the spirit of slumber. No, I didn't. I said Jesus said they all slumbered and slept. They were all in a state of drowsiness. You're familiar with it. You do it in church. A state of inactivity. To spend time doing nothing. Want to be free from criticism? Do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. So there has to come an awakening. Amen. There has to come something that stirs her from a state of inactivity. And Paul says here that Israel was given the spirit of slumber. Now slumber to the Jews means a pricking or a piercing, a severe sorrow or an extreme grief or torpor of mind. Something of extreme grief that produces a spirit of stupor and renders their souls torpid, that they become insensible and they are not affected at all by the offer of salvation through their Messiah. This ain't what the wise or foolish done. But Israel was given the spirit of slumber. The tender hand of Jehovah. Amen. They must, because they accepted, Brother Anderson, because they accepted a murderer, they would be murdered. Amen. When they cried out that day, "Give us Barabbas." Brother Rev said, when they let Barabbas go and they accepted Barabbas, he said that it exalted Satan to the position that he always wanted to be in. They accepted a murderer and they are going to be murdered. Brother Rev calls that the tender hand of Jehovah. Because he said he had not forget them. Amen. There's souls under the altar. And there's 144,000 of the elect of Israel that will be saved. Millions upon millions have already died. Under Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Eichmann. So while the bride and the foolish virgin have a little state of inactivity or slumbering, doing nothing, there comes a midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The word midnight there means the midst, or in the middle, in the midst, or amongst. So not just at 12 o'clock midnight, but this cry comes from within. Amen. The word midnight also, it means to a time that when work ceases, as even at a time of death. It is the time of deeds and sin and shame. It is a time of moral stupidity and darkness. Kind of sounds like where we're living. So the time that when the weary and also the drunken give themselves up to slumber, put for torpor or for sluggishness. So out of the midst of darkness, out of the midst of the most sinful and the most corrupt time that ever has been. This is the most sinful age of any age that there has been. But Brother M said it is also the grandest of all ages. Because it is in this age he cries from the midst of us. Out of the midst of darkness, out of the midst of corruption comes life. So that's right, let's get ready for the midnight cry. It's coming in an hour, you think not. There'll be cry, not amongst the unbelieving world. It'll be a secret, but the believers who are looking for this, you see the stars coming in line. What did it produce? That's exactly what it did the first time. See, here we are, the signs are coming. So this cry is not amongst the unbelieving world, but the believers. The strange thing about it is, verse 7, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, and for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But you go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore you, for you know not, neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Seed not air with a shuck. He says, now, there's what troubles me at this hour. It's knowing that we see all the denominations pulling into this. What we know to be, what you call the latter rain or pouring out of the Spirit, do you realize that Jesus said, when that come to pass, it would be the end when the foolish virgin and wise virgin was not heirs together. The foolish virgin, she was virgin, just lacking oil. And when she comes to buy oil, it was at that time that the bridegroom came. She was left out while she was trying to buy oil. Do you understand? I want that to soak in real good. He said, now surely I won't have to move any more on that, or more move that subject any further. So neither can the spiritual and the natural be heirs together. He said, that's why the rapture, the bride, the wise virgin, the called out, the foreordained, the elected. He said, why you businessmen wouldn't run your office like some people try to think God runs his program haphazard. He said, God knew before the foundation of the world who would be saved and who would not be saved. By predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw every member, put every name on the Lamb's book of life before the church ever began. He says, Jesus come to seek and to save that which was on that book. He brought the book, he bought the book of redemption. It was lost. He redeemed it, and all the names that was on that book was redeemed when he redeemed us. Amen. So we realize it's by our election that we are what we are. Amen. We're not foolish. We're wise. And we will never become foolish. It's totally impossible for a wise virgin to become a foolish virgin. Because God would then be a liar. He'd have to change his mind about you. And he don't change his mind about his word. Thank God. But while the bride is caught away, there's some things left for the 144,000, the foolish virgin, and the total lost. Matthew 13 and 40. I hope this will shake some wayward one that maybe feels a little tug. That's the, remember last night, that's the Holy Spirit seeking you out. Matthew 13, 40. And I do believe this before I read this. I don't believe that if you scare somebody in, somebody else is going to scare them out. So we're not preaching a gospel of fear to scare you in. This is reality. Brother Bram teaches us that people got to get in the spirit of the last days before the last days can come. Right? We're in the last days. Matthew 13, 40 to 42 says, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity and cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now Malachi 4 is not only verse 5 and 6. But Malachi 4 verse 1 says that the earth is going to burn like an oven. And it tells us that we are going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked. As I said, tribulation period is actually God's grace to the righteous and to the 144,000. That he cared enough for them to purge them. Matthew 22, verse 13 and 14 says, "Then said the king to his servants," you can go back and look at these parables, but for time's sake, I'll just give you these parts. "Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him out or take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So here's one that got in without a wedding garment. And he's cast into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 24:51, "Then and they shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 25:30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Luke 13:27 and 28, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Brother, so that was to even spoke to the Jews. So there's coming a time of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The gnashing of teeth, the word gnashing actually means to denote extreme anguish and utter despair of men consigned to a punishment or to an eternal punishment. So there'll be such a grief. It is not as we would look at it as going out that somebody is going to be gnashing on other people and biting them. But one of the other meanings of this word gnashing, it is to gnash their teeth as if they understood they missed an opportunity. You've probably done it. Your own selves at some point in life or something you've done, you went, I should have done that. That's gnashing your teeth. And once the bride is gone, there's going to be weeping and wailing. And there's going to be people from this message. And there's going to be people outside this world, and they're going to be gnashing their own teeth. They'll be gnashing their teeth because they knew they missed their day of opportunity. First seal, brother, says, how can any man say the bride goes through tribulation? He said, I can't understand it. See, she's took away from tribulation. The church has been judged and they have been judged themselves and have accepted the blood. How can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? You say, there's no such a person. He said, every born again believer, true believer is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. He's not trusting in his works. It's in the blood of Jesus that his confession's dropped into. The Bible says he's born of God, doesn't commit sin, for he cannot sin. How can you make a man a sinner when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? That would scatter sin till there'd be nothing left of it. How can the pure blood of Christ ever let sin pass there? He cannot. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father in heaven's perfect. How could we even start the thought of being perfect? But Jesus required it. If he required it, he's got to make a way for it. He has his own blood. Amen. He said, these types, that's the reason they die out and go through the purging of trial of tribulation. Because they're not actually under the blood. They claim they are, but they're not. He said, how can they go through a trial to purify them when the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ takes away every symptom of sin and stuff away from you? And you're already dead. Your life is hidden him through God, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. What are you going to be judged for? Where are you going to get your perfect purification? What do you have to be purified from when you're perfectly in Christ, sinless? What's a judgment for? But it's for that sleeping bunch. To them that can't make out. Oh my. And upon the elect, he'll exercise clemency. We receive life. We pass from death unto life. We shall not come into judgment. But the judge has already declared you innocent. Amen. Because we are a part of the same cell that he came out of. Christ the mystery, brother, says the church is the blood of Christ by the Spirit. Because the life is in the blood. He said that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost that baptizes us into his body, that recognizes only his body, his flesh, his word. Denomination won't touch that. It's a revelation. She knows it. So did Eve know it, but she failed. But this one knows it and won't fall. She's ordained. Hallelujah. She's ordained to not fall. She won't fail. She's predestinated to it. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin. By the Spirit, the church is the blood of Christ. Because you came from the same place. You came from the same cell. The breaking of that blood cell released a life. And that life was looking for its own. As the eagle soared, it screamed. And you heard. He says, notice redeeming back with him, going home, going back to eternal life in a human body, eating, drinking, living forever. Isaiah said they'd build houses and have it, plant vineyards and eat the fruit. They'll not build it, another take it. The children won't take it, but they'll be there with their offsprings. He'll build it and stay there, amen. He don't build it, another eat. He builds and eats himself. Amen. What is it? His bride going back with him. Redeemed back to the original Adam and Eve again. For death is left behind. They look back at the cross. See, death has been paid. He said, by faith we are resurrected with him. Sitting in heavenly places right now. Looking back to what redeemed us. Waiting for the husband to come. To march home with him. First seal again. He says, notice. He'll conquer and almost has his grip right now. While he's still Antichrist before he becomes beast. You talk about cruel punishment. You just wait. What's for them that's left here on earth will have to go through with? There'll be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. For the dragon Rome spurted water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed that was left on the earth after the bride has done been selected and took out. The dragon made war with the remnant, didn't want to come in, was hunted down, and the real church will go through that. It would, if it was possible, but you see, they're done under the blood. by the grace of Christ, and it's not going through, have no tribulation period. The next thing for the church or the bride is the rapture. Amen and amen. Praise be to God, he says. If that's the next thing for the bride, what's the next thing for the church? Message of Countdown, Bakersfield. So one of these mornings, God's achievement of his astronauts has climbed into Jesus Christ, been born in there by the Holy Ghost, filled with his power. One of these mornings, the whole universe will be screaming and wailing, gnashing of teeth when they see they've missed it. When the great eagle, powered by the Holy Ghost and fire, begins to spread her wings, the astronauts will take off into the sky to meet the bridegroom. When the bride takes off in the astronaut power of God Almighty, who sent Jesus Christ to the earth in the form of the Holy Ghost, has brought the church through these achievements until now she's getting resurrected power in her. Amen. Amen. To fly beyond the things of the world, seeing him out there in here, the church, making himself the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir, the countdown is even over. Every church age has done past. We're ending on the Laodicea. He cannot do one more thing. We'll never do one more sign before the people. That's according to the Bible. I want someone to tell me one more sign he promised to do besides what he's done right here, as it was in the days of Sodom. Malachi 4 and then promises that he made. All hoods right into the same thing. There'll not be any more sign given to the church. The next thing you'll see will be a flight into heaven. They'll be taken up. And we went back and forth from side to wise, the foolish, the righteous, the elect. And Brother Evans done this same thing in this part of the countdown. And he's dealing with both sides. And he says the whole universe will be weeping and wailing when they recognize they missed it. But for you, the next thing is a flight through the sky. Then he says, Don't miss it, friend. Remember, listen at my voice. It'll haunt you all of your life if you haven't got in. Out yonder, when you're suffering for your punishment, and where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, that voice will scream back and forth. You hear it all the time in that weary, spooky place of hell. Don't fail. Now is your opportunity. And you think of this. He has spoke from both sides. To the bride, the next thing is a flight through the sky. But to the righteous or the church who lacked only the oil, the next thing they'll hear is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then there's going to be an element of people who what they will hear is the prophet's voice haunting them. When they push stop on the player for the final time, they said, I'll never listen to this man again. Those tapes have not stopped. They just stopped it in this time. But there'll be a time when their punishment will be listening to the voice of the prophet. Talk about a mastermind. Because they didn't deem it worthy to listen now. God will give them under a choice. They deemed it not worthy to listen to anymore. But in that time, God won't give them a choice. He's just going to push play. And all they'll hear is that voice that they could not stand to hear in this life. He says, look, I've said some pretty rough things about the airplane, the automobile. Remember, they're all horsepower too. It's all of it is horsepower. Just the church is moving up. Holy Ghost power. He said they were justified by. He said, you ministers know that, don't you? Holy Ghost sanctifies us. Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith. See, as we move up. God is completing the cycle. And He's fixing to thoroughly purge His floor. We're on our way to a restored Eden. Remember, in the law of physics, a cycle is a continuance of certain states or changing states that upon its completion produces a final state identical to the original state and returns to the equal value of the original. If you want to see where we are, Brother Bram tells us the seventh seal goes back to Genesis. We know the seventh seal, just put it into this terminology, is the coming of the Lord. That's a whole lot. Amen? Because it ain't one single event. There's a whole lot lays under that. So it goes back to Genesis. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, what does God do? God creates an earth. So He can take you out of it. Amen? Then He makes man in Genesis 1 in His own image. He makes man, which is plural, in His own image, gives him dominion. Genesis 2, He brings Adam's body out of the dust of the earth. Genesis 3, He comes down and finds man in a fallen condition. And they're naked, covered in fig leaves. Right? And God kills a lamb. And the cycle completes the opposite way. It's restoration. Come from, it's going back to. Amen. So you come back to Genesis 3, you find Laodicea in a naked condition, clothed with her religion. But God comes down, we know He descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the trump. Genesis 3, they're naked, but it's in this time He comes down with a shout to clothe the bride. Last night, Brother Evan said, I don't want my ministry crowned as an old crabbing man with the crowning of Satan. But He tells us what He wanted it crowned with was to be able to dress the bride in the clothes of His righteousness. And in Genesis 2, a restored Eden begins. The smitten peace is brought back to the side of Adam. Also seeing the voice of resurrection, because it's Genesis 2 that Adam's body comes out of the dust of the earth. And in Genesis 1, God's word is complete. Man and woman are in His image and given dominion back on the earth. 1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. This is the completion of redemption. Not just something that takes you to Calvary or takes you to when Jesus rose. But this is the claiming of the title deed. This is the claiming of the book. This is the redemption. It's God's plan of redemption for the elect, because only the elected or the predestinated was considered in it. All that Adam lost is redeemed. We're going back to restored Eden. How close are we to the Hall of Fame? Close enough that God is purging His floor. Threshing floor is a type of judgment. And Micah 4:11-12 says, many nations are gathered against thee, and let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they His counsel, for He shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. God views the wicked as chaff. Job 21:18 says, their stubble before the wind is chaff that the storm carrieth away. Psalms 1:4 says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The threshing floor is a type of judgment. It's also a type of deliverance for the wheat. Remember, His fan is in His hand. And when he begins to wave his wind, the only thing it drives away is chaff. Amen. You ever seen wheat being winnowed? They build those threshing floors up on hills so the winds will be more prevalent. And when they would winnow it, they would actually, the wind itself would carry it away. And the wheat would fall right back to the floor. When the wind wasn't blowing, they had fans. They would create a wind. And the wheat would go up in the air, fall back down to the earth. So listen, friend, you may get tossed around a little bit on his floor. But if you're wheat, you're going to land right back on it. Because everything that ain't wheat's got to go. This is his floor. You are his wheat. It's in his hand and he'll thoroughly purge his floor. The world is in a Sodom condition. The church has went into Sodom with it like Lot and his wife. I say, I read this a moment ago. He said, but there is an elected church somewhere in the world who's pulling out and setting aside these things, and the manifestation of God has attracted her attention. The shuck gave forth its strength into the seed. It went out. It was a good shuck, but it served its time. See, it's the word bride of the word groom. The seed cannot get right or get ripe until the shuck, the stalk, the leaves are all dry. That's right. It saps every bit of the life in them out. Amen. And all it was, it is that plus. It's what all was in Lutheran, Wesleyan, Pentecost. It's all in us. He says, it cannot do it now. It's seed time or bride time. Shucks are dead. They're dried up. The virgin word time, not touched. It's virgin. Remember, virgin word time. She is now a dry shuck. It's passed. The Spirit of God passed through her. It's true. She will not be heir with the vindicated seed word. She'll not be in the rapture. She'll be a church member, may come up in the second resurrection, be judged according to what she heard. If you're here tonight as just a church member, what's your judgment going to be when you'll have to stand there and witness you heard the truth? The shuck has to pull away. And what we don't understand, or many times we've looked at it, we preached that justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost itself has come right back down into perfection. The shuck has pulled away so that the seed can be exposed to the sun, to ripen, to bring it to maturity. But that ain't the end. It's got to come a separation of the wheat that's come to maturity from the stalk that has been its carrier all of these years. Amen. The elect, we know, Jesus, we read it, will go in the first resurrection. But the rest are burned as stubble in tribulation period. The earth shall burn like an oven. What will your judgment be when you have to stand there and say, I heard the truth? When it comes to the floor, it's harvest time. Not just laying in the presence of the sun to ripen, but when it comes to his floor, it's harvest time. It is where the wheat is threshed. Many things were used in the old times to thresh wheat. Now we've got combines. There was threshing rods that was used to beat the wheat, to separate it from the chaff. Also, oxen were used, and they would trample out the corn. Sometimes they would hook a sled to them and pull that sled over them as they would trample them. And it would separate the chaff from the wheat. The scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Because that ox has a duty. He's a burden bearer. He's got a duty to trample out the corn. And thou shalt, God said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Because these wasn't just everyday oxen. If you study the history of these oxen, these were the most prized of all in the land because they were the greatest fed or the best fed of any oxen. And their duty was to step on you. Amen. Because you've got to be separated from all unbelief. So it shows you if he's fixing to thoroughly purge his floor. This is why your ox, your pastor, treadeth out the corn. Amen. Thank God for him. And he takes his wind, his breath, and it separates it all. Listen, you may be thrown up in the air. You may land in different spots. But as long as you land on his floor, that's all that matters. There's one thing about this threshing floor. When it's all said and done, Brother Jim, every bit of the chaff is gone. They gather up the wheat. And there is a door in that threshing floor. It has a little place that they got to cross on their way out of the floor. It's called the threshold. Just as a man would pick up his bride and carry her across the threshold. The next thing coming is a ride in the grain elevator. Let's stand together. If nothing else, I can hope you can see who you are by seeing who you're not. Amen. This is why it requires us. And brother, I said you can never overemphasize true revelation in a believer's life. And this is why you pray for revelation. That God, let me know who I am. And if there's any question that you don't know, settle that question. Because our prophet, I read them to you, he showed us what's laying in store for those who miss the ride in the grain elevator. There's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That people will sit and gnash their teeth. Man, how did I miss it? Man, how did I miss it? A brother from Brother Tim Pruitt's gave me a testimony the other day. His mother-in-law was having surgery. She attends our church, so they were up. He said they had a great service of deliverance. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. Maybe even went back and archived and watched it. And he said there was a young man that had been away from God for a long time. He said by the time, normal time, church service is over, you know, and whatever, and he's in his pajamas, and he's expecting mom and dad to show up, and time goes by, and mom and dad ain't showed up, and a little more time goes by, and still mom and dad ain't showed up, and he gets in his truck and goes down to somebody else that goes to the church's house. They ain't showed up, and he starts going all over the place trying to find everybody that's supposed to be home because church should be over, and you know what's going through this boy's mind. I have missed it. What I've heard all my life has just become real to me. And he wrecked his truck on the way to church. Comes in his pajamas and finds everybody in a deliverance service. A deacon brother having to hold him up. That young man got right with God. He was slumbering. God ain't gonna lose a one, even if he has to give you a wake up call. His word will never fail. Amen. And when you look at your fellow worker, you look at your friends as Baptists and Methodists, and you know people, I know people that love God, but they don't believe what you believe. Shake their hand next time instead of judging them, saying, well, you're going through tribulation period. They may be, but that's God's grace to them. Shake their hand and say, I'll see you when you arrive in eternity. They're going to live outside the city, but thank God they'll be there. And some of them may be our family members. Thank God for revelation. Amen. And if it's in your heart that you desire to see anybody lost, there's an altar from right there to right there. I suggest you get down there and just pray and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because I don't want to be lost either. Amen. Make your calling and election sure. Next phase, we're riding out in a grain elevator across that threshold. Ain't that beautiful? Some of you women that maybe didn't get carried across the threshold, you got one coming. It's God's grace to you. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Beautiful.
Absolutely
beautiful. We got a brother that's going to come and be baptized here today. Brother J.D. was telling us a little bit about it before the service. His mom and dad had streamed the service Wednesday night. And after the service, the presence of God there in their home. And the Lord just come upon this young man's heart and really stirred him and done a real work in his heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful move of God? Aren't you glad to see that God went beyond the Lamb's Book of Life over into the Book of Life and offered mercy to those who wanted to be saved? They don't want to go to hell, but they're not like you, but they're a Nicodemus or a Gamaliel or somebody that really does love God as far as they can love Him. Aren't you glad that we are finally arriving to maturity? It's a sign of our immaturity and we think we're the only ones going. Praise the Lord. But we must be growing up and getting closer to the body change. Because we're not only seeing ourselves, but we're seeing others in the economy of God and God's mercy to them and that He loves them. Let's sing together this chorus while they prepare for the baptism. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote my life. Amen. God's mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but let's sing it as we're worshiping together. Oh, mercy, it rewrote my life. Aren't you glad, children? Yeah.
The whole service Wednesday was very powerful. Many of us were affected, and Brother Israel was affected as well. The Lord was dealing with him, and as Brother Joel began to sing, it just hit him, and he couldn't resist the call of the Lord anymore past that. And I talked to him before the service. He's so sincere in his repentance and his turning away from the world and laying his life down and giving it to the Lord, and he's just overwhelmed right now and so sincere. And I got to thinking, I thought, the attitude that he came with of just total surrender and everything. It says that we're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven except that we come like a little child, And this young man had that attitude, as we all should have. And I just know that as a body, right now, we need to all pray for him and just pray that his desire come, that he be filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, Lord, we bow together as one body right now, agreeing and asking, Lord, that you just simply do what you promised. My brother is seeking the promise of your word, taking your name in baptism, Lord, and receiving your Holy Ghost is the most central thing in his life right now. And that's what he desires more than anything else. Everything that our brother spoke of this morning, as far as the threshing floor, Lord, we're seeing it happen right before our eyes. We're seeing the scripture and the time being fulfilled just as you said, Lord. We're so grateful. And we're just calling out, Lord, to come quickly. Bring in that last one and come quickly, Lord. Lord, we ask now that you just give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost as you promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Brother Israel, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I make him say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that we could be here today in this place, gathered once again with the saints of God. But not only that, we've gathered here in this gallery with the great King. The King has walked among us, and he's been held captive, as it were. And we're so grateful, Lord. We pray, dear God, that you would help each of us, that we could be ready for that great hour. Lord, we've talked about it, we've sung about it, we believe that it's surely coming upon us. We look around everywhere and see the signs made clear, and it's modern events made clear by prophecy. May there not be a one of us here today who heard this word that'll miss it. Grant it, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Your choice. Brother Branham's voice, your pastor, these other men of God that you've heard, will be a voice that will haunt you when you are suffering your torment in the regions of the lost. Or that same voice of that prophet of God will present you as a bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. voice of condemnation or voice of presentation. You choose. You choose. For me, I choose for the voice of Malachi 4 to present me to Jesus Christ as part of the bride of this age. I'm not going to hear that voice in the ceaseless ages of being punished and all that sort of thing, because I'm not going to be punished. No, that's not who I am. We talk about hell, that ain't my home. I didn't come from there, I ain't going back there. I come from God, I'm going back to God. Amen. Right? That's where we are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we just keep coming. Just keep come on back. Let this big old ox tread all over you. Hallelujah. I just knew when he said that part about the ox, I thought, uh-oh, here we go. God bless you, saints. See you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. We'll come expecting the Lord to move. Let's give him the mic. I appreciate men of God that preach not on the motive of trying to impress the congregation and trying to impress you of what they know and their abilities and all that, but to follow the Spirit of God. Because there's many times they preach things they certainly do not want to preach, and they'd rather go this way, that way, that way. But I'm so grateful we still have men, aren't you, that want to follow the leading of the Lord. And they'll preach that because they feel that's what God wants to your needs, to minister to you, instead of preaching to impress you and for you to be overwhelmed by them and think. I'm so glad we still have men like that today. God bless you. Hey, let's sing together as we go.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Oh, yes.
And it's closer now than it's ever been.
Glory.
I can almost hear the trumpet. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. Let him rise where I. Christ will rise. when Jesus comes again. When Jesus steps out on the cloud upon his children, the dead in Christ will Christ will.